This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. Have you ever thought about buying sheep?
So what line of work are you in?
Well, Palma, I am in sheep. I am a sheep shipper.
Oh.
Yes. You know, people, they don't buy the sheep from the local sheep herder anymore.
Really? They don't?
No, they don't. They go online. Yes, they go on the interweb. To my website, gotprettysheep.com. Now, people go on, they see the pictures of the sheep, you know, and they pick the ones they want. You know, they're like, oh, I want that one. You know, it's very stylish. You know, it's a stylish one. Also, oh, no, I want the shy one who doesn't want to bar. Or they buy the sassy one, who's like, hey, I see you, bar, bar.
So what do the people do with these sheep?
Whatever they want. The sky is the limit. You know, some have them as pets. You know, some have them as security for the house.
And some use them for milk to make ice cream. I met a young entrepreneur who, at the beginning of her new venture, did exactly what was described in that clip from the 2011 film Just Go With It, starring Jennifer Aniston and Adam Sandler.
I Googled dairy sheep breeders all over the United States. I emailed 50 of them, heard back from a handful of them, and by the following week, I had ordered our first three sheep.
Alexis Negronti's ultimate goal was to produce America's first and only sheep's milk ice cream, and this is how she did it.
My name is Alexis Negronti, and I am the founder and owner of Negronti Creamery, and we produce 100% sheep's milk ice cream. I guess I can tell you how I got started. I graduated from Cal Poly and was working at a desk job right out of college, and decided very quickly that working at a desk was not for me. And I kind of went through a lot of different ideas. I thought about starting a cake business, a wedding planning business. At one point, I tried to convince my husband to sell his cows and we could start a bison ranch. And then one day it hit me to start a sheep dairy. I do not know how I got the idea. I truly think it was divine intervention. You know, it was one of those things that it just popped in my head, and I did a little research and discovered that no one had made sheep milk ice cream in the United States before for wholesale or retail. So I thought, let's do this. Let's be the first and pursue this idea. So I came home and told my husband, we were 24 at the time, or I guess we were engaged. I said, I have this idea, and he's always been extremely supportive of all my wild ideas. And he said, okay, let's take a moment, and if you really want to do this in a couple months, we'll get some sheep and we can start small. And I said, okay. So I kind of smiled and nodded, and the next day at work, I Googled dairy sheep breeders all over the United States. I emailed 50 of them, heard back from a handful of them, and by the following week, I had ordered our first three sheep.
That's pretty quick.
And it was very quick. That was in December, January, we were picking them up, and that spring we were hand milking our first three ewes and use our female sheep. And that summer I started playing around with ice cream recipes. I had never made ice cream before. I joke that we're the ultimate Cal Poly business because it's learned by doing. Yeah, it just kind of took off from there. Just wanted to work for myself, and it's been the most rewarding thing. It's way more work than going to an 8-to-5, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. We had our sheep dairy and we grew it to about 85 ewes. For us, not having the sheep here was more of a management, I don't want to even say issue because it wasn't an issue, but we really had to choose the creamery or the dairy. It's extremely difficult to be successful at both when you're so small. So I compare it to a winery. It would be like if the winemaker was also trying to manage all the grapes and do everything without having two totally separate entities. When we had the dairy, they were here in Paso. So my husband is very handy, and he built the 8th legal sheep dairy in California out of a shipping container. And we would milk 8 ewes at a time into the shipping container while we had the dairy. And because we didn't own the farm that we were on, so we wanted it to be technically mobile. That's why we did it in a shipping container. We decided to partner with another dairy, and they're just an hour and a half away over towards the valley. And now we buy the milk back. And it's been a great move for both the dairy and for the creamery. We still know how they're raised. We know they're on pasture. We know they're being fed extremely well. We get our delivery, and I am so grateful for every Monday morning that I'm not out there at 4 a.m. milking anymore.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Were you interested in sheep because you or somebody you know is lactose intolerant, or were you interested in the sheep because of an opportunity gap in the market?
You know, I tend to take the road less traveled, so I think I just saw that no one had done it before, and it became a really interesting challenge to me to figure out how to do it. We actually discovered a couple years later, after starting the dairy, that my husband is lactose intolerant. So So it worked out really well. But at the time, that wasn't the driving factor. I thought, well, everyone has cows. It's excellent, and we do carry cow's milk here, cow's milk ice cream. But I thought, that's not what I want to specialize in. And goat's milk, in my opinion, doesn't make the best ice cream just because of its super tangy flavor profile. Sheep's milk is naturally very sweet and very nutty, so it makes a really, really beautiful ice cream on its own without having to add anything else into it. But mostly it was because, to answer your question, I saw that no one else had done it before, and I thought, well, I'm going to do it.
Can I see how ice cream is made?
Absolutely, yeah. We can go inside.
Okay, great.
Okay, so this is the creamery. So we have here, this is the ice cream machine.
Okay, it's a very small ice cream machine.
Yeah, so we have two. And we are actually purchasing a continuous freezer, which can do 100 gallons an hour. This will do 20, and then we have two of those, so we can do about 40 gallons an hour right now. And they're both running about 5 days a week.
Okay, how many gallons a week do you make?
Anywhere between 600 and 800 finished product gallons. It's for our scoop shop, and then other scoop shops carry our ice cream, so we make it for them. And then we have the wholesale, so we have pints that go out to the grocery stores, we have ice cream sandwiches, all different kinds of outlets. Okay, let me walk you through it. The milk arrives, and we put it into this pasteurizer. Okay. And so what's unique about our product is that we make our own base mix. So a lot of people will purchase a base mix, but we don't use any additives or fillers, so we make our own. And all that is in our base mix is sheep's milk and tapioca starch, which is from the cassava root. So it's very natural, and we use that as our thickener instead of using anything artificial. We pasteurize it, and then we let it cool back down, and then that is our base. From there, we take it out, and we will make the ice cream. So we'll blend in the cane sugar, any ingredients. You know, right now she's doing the maple pecan, so we have candied our own pecans in the ovens, and she's adding that in, any flavorings, etc. And then we mix that up and throw it into the machine, pull it out of the machine, and it goes straight into the freezer, which you can see is at negative 20.
Yeah.
We have another even larger freezer downstairs as well.
This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Father Ian, playing with food in an ice cream factory with Alexis Negronti, learning how to make sheep milk ice cream and wondering just how many people it takes to make 600 to 800 gallons of ice cream a week.
We have a production manager, we have two production assistants, and a full-time baker. And that's what keeps this place going.
Okay, wow. And how often do you yourself do the hands-on, like, ice cream making?
These days, not as much as I would like. So I have stepped a little bit away from that, and I have given it to our team to do, and I have really started focusing more on the growth and the marketing and going from there. Whenever we have new recipes, I'm always making those and collaborating with our production team. So the new recipes come from me, but the day-to-day our production team takes care of. So when I first started, I would make 3 quarts at a time. So small, it was a little countertop machine, and I thought it was the biggest deal ever to sell out of my 3 quarts. Then we went from the 3 quarts to kind of a mid-size, and then these are the largest ones we could get that are of this type of ice cream machine. And like I said, we are getting a larger machine that can do 100 to 200 gallons an hour. We'll still make it in smaller batches and then just add it to those larger machines and those larger vats. Quality control's super, super important to us. And so making sure that everything stays consistent is number one.
What made this venture into sheep's milk ice cream even more enticing is that it's healthier than regular ice cream.
Sheep's milk is only 8% fat. So our ice cream is only 8% fat, whereas gelato or traditional ice creams are going to be higher than that. Some traditional super premium ice creams are up to 16% fat. And they have beautiful textures. There's a market and appreciation for all different kinds of ice creams and gelatos, and they're all amazing. But for us, I didn't want a super high fat content, and that really allows the flavors to shine through, having the lower fat content. Everything just tastes super clean. That's what everyone says. Your ice cream's just so clean, and it tastes like old-fashioned ice cream, and that's because there's not a ton of cream added or anything else. So sheep's milk is 8% fat, and we don't add any extra cream. And the wonderful, magical thing about sheep's milk is that it's naturally homogenized. So the fat molecules are mixed into the milk. It doesn't separate. So it's naturally more creamy than any other milk, even though it has a lower fat content. When you have sheep butter, you have to put it in a machine that whips it around so fast that the fat molecules separate. They have to physically separate from the milk. Just the milk itself, the milk is higher in fat. Cow's milk, you're looking at, 3.5% fat? That's why they have to add so much more cream to their ice cream to get that consistency. Where sheep's milk is 8%, but the final product is only 8%. It doesn't go up to 12 or 18%. So I call it the miracle milk because it's wonderful. It's full of vitamins and minerals. And actually, a fun random fact is that it's the most similar to human milk. So in other countries, if women can't feed their babies, they give them sheep's milk, which is, I think, fascinating. And I think that's why it's so easy for people to digest it.
I asked Alexis what was required as a young entrepreneur starting something new. Even though this ice cream is now more than 10 years old, even back then, dairy alternatives for lactose intolerant were gaining popularity. So it should have been a simple sale, right?
I started about 10 years ago. It's amazing how the food industry has transformed in 10 years. When I started and I told people I made sheep milk ice cream, they looked at me like I was an absolute lunatic. They thought, can you milk sheep? I mean, there was no education on that. Whereas now, 10 years later, and I don't know if it's a mix of that we've been around for 10 years, so it's not something new and weird, or that the general population is just now more open to alternative food ideas. But when we first started, there was initially a group that was behind us, but for the majority, people were very nervous until they tried it. And once they tried it, they were totally on board. But I remember getting into grocery stores and having to do demos so that people would try it and say, oh, this is really good, and not be scared initially and not purchase it. So the last few years, it's taken off, I think, for a multitude of reasons. One being that people are just more open to different ideas. And then once they try it, they love it.
So you were the lady in the grocery store with the apron and the gloves and the little paper cups with scoops of ice cream in it?
I was. I remember being like 8 months pregnant. Doing it at Vaughn's in San Luis Obispo. it's been an adventure.
Flavor development must be challenging.
I think because I've been doing it for 10 years, it comes naturally to me. It comes very easily to me. I've messed up a handful of recipes, but for the majority of the time, I can get it within the first couple tries. And I think that just comes with 10 years of doing it. I kind of have an idea of, okay, what's the sugar content? What profile do I want for this flavor? Do I want it to be super sweet? Do I want it to be a little bit less sweet? Are we adding berries that are going to be providing natural sugar? So I'll bring down the cane sugar, et cetera, et cetera. Like the crazy cookie is our cookies and cream with cookie dough in it. And when I first told the team about that, and I said, okay, I want to make this thing called the crazy cookie, and it's going to have cookies and cream and cookie dough, they all kind of looked at me like, Alexis, that's a lot of sweet. And it is one of our best sellers. Everyone loves it. And I know that's just because I have these ideas for my sweet tooth, like, oh, what sounds good? And then we go for it. My husband and I went to Italy before we had our first son, and I tried pistachio gelato, and it was incredible. And so I came back here and partnered with a local pistachio butter company, and I started making the pistachio ice cream, and it's wonderful. I love it. And it doesn't have any of the fillers or anything. It's just a really clean pistachio ice cream. That was one time we went and did, you know, tried something somewhere else and came back here and did it. When I first made our strawberry basil, it was inspired by a sandwich I had at Thomas Hill Organics. And they had a strawberry basil brie sandwich. And it was incredible. And I thought, I bet this combo would be really good in ice cream. So sans the brie cheese, I did the strawberry basil, and it's one of our top sellers for 10 years. So
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now it's time for the proof, and the proof in the pudding is in the tasting.
So that's the maple pecan.
Okay, maple pecan.
That's really good.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. I don't eat a lot of ice cream. I don't have a sweet tooth.
Okay. Do you want to try anything else? Are you good?
I would like to try just the plain vanilla.
Okay, excellent. You know what? The vanilla is one of my very favorite flavors.
I do. I like ice cream. I love ice cream. I rarely ever crave it because I don't have a sweet tooth. People think I'm weird because I don't have a sweet tooth.
So for the vanilla bean, we use local Cook's vanilla. The plant itself is actually here in Paso. They go get the beans and bring them back here. It's Cook's Vanilla. They're a great family-owned company. And real vanilla bean paste. There's been a huge vanilla bean shortage, and we never compromised. So we always bought the highest quality we could, even when it was up to about $300 a gallon. And we were still using them just because you can taste the difference. You can see it's not yellow. You can see that there's real beans in there. And that was really important to us, is that we maintain that quality standard.
Why was there a vanilla bean shortage?
Because all the vanilla farms and all the vanilla orchards got wiped out by hurricanes all over. And there was a huge, huge shortage. And they would always explain to me, you know, why is there a shortage? What is going on? He would tell me when he was going to go get more beans. You know, they were wonderful during this whole ordeal. But anyway, we use real vanilla beans, and the vanilla is actually one of my very favorite flavors.
As a purveyor of ice cream, Alexis has an endless supply. What does that do to her own eating habits and those of her family?
How does making ice cream influence your own eating at home, your menus at home? Like when you have a birthday celebration, when your child's birthday or whatever, is it always ice cream, or how does that work?
Yes, especially if we're going to an event, if I don't bring ice cream, I'm pretty much not allowed in. So, yes, you know, whenever my kids come into the shop, which is often, they always get a scoop of ice cream. You know, people say, oh my gosh, your kids must have a lot of ice cream. But I look at it as it's something that I feel good about feeding my kids. And so other people can feel good about feeding their families it as well. We don't use any artificial ingredients. It's super clean. And the fact that our ice cream is made with real ingredients, they don't want a ton of it. I feel that when you're having really commercial ice cream, you just keep eating it because it's just, it's so fake and it's not actually satiating what you want. You know, it's not filling that craving. But with our ice cream, one or two scoops, and it's all the real stuff, you're totally fine. Like, you're super happy after having that. You're not wanting the whole pan. Yeah, my kids have it all the time. And we don't typically have ice cream at home. And that's mostly because I'll eat it here during the day, and I don't need to be going home and eating it at night, too. Yeah, we eat. Ice cream's a big part of our life. My grandpa, he was a huge ice cream fan. I definitely got his sweet tooth. I love sweets. I love ice cream. This is the perfect career path for me.
Like many of the producers whom Playing with Food has had conversations with, Negronti is more than just a business. Community is part of their success, of course, but also part of their passion.
I was huge into 4-H and FFA. My husband grew up on a cattle ranch. Agriculture is a huge part of our history and our background, and something that we are extremely passionate about. And although we're not farming, I still feel that we are in the agricultural community, being a producer, using those wonderful, you know, ag items. And especially here on the Central Coast, it's such a special place for agriculture. And, you know, we love our agricultural community. We are so incredibly supported by this community, and we love this community. And we have so many regulars that it's like, that is there. Every Wednesday, this couple comes in, and every Saturday, we have so many people with their kids that come in. And, you know, it's become kind of a place to make traditions. People come in, and that's their one activity for the week. And especially during this whole COVID situation, it gives them something to look forward to. That one time a week, they get their sweet treat with a family member or a friend, and they can come out and just have a moment of happiness and joy.
You also captured a gap in the market and provided lots of people who are lactose intolerant with their sweet summer treat.
Yes. Yeah. And whether they're lactose intolerant or not, but a lot of people who have health conditions or food allergies can have our product and have a sweet treat at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day. We get emails on a regular basis. I mean, at least once a week. Thank you so much. I haven't had ice cream in 5 years, 10 years, and I can finally have ice cream again. It's really what keeps us going, and it makes us so happy, and it's why our team does what we do.
Just another amazing food here on the Central Coast. It's a hot day. I'm off for an afternoon cold, tasty treat. I'm Father Ian, and I'm Playing with Food.